Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Today we finish our series on praying always. I hope I've helped you a little bit this month on praying always through our 21-day fast. And so we want to conclude that this weekend. So if you open your Bible, and I hope you brought your Bible, I'm believing for a revival of the Bible in Jesus' name. And so open it up to John chapter 16 and verse 23. We're going to conclude today this series on praying always. There's no way we could exhaust the subject in 1 month, no way. But we felt like we've been spirit-led to talk about the topics that we need to. We talked about what kind of prayer do you pray when you're in a crisis. We talked about how to pray and get results and answers to your prayers. We talked about the foundation for prayer, and we looked at all of that. Last weekend, we talked about what do you pray for? What do you pray for? And if you were with me, you'll remember. If you weren't, let me just remind you or let you know that we looked at the life of Christ, didn't we? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ. And we looked at Jesus as our mentor, our role model on prayer. And the first prayer he prayed was for forgiveness, to forgive those who have hurt us. That's amazing, isn't it? You say, Pastor, why would he talk about forgiveness? Because if I can't forgive those who've hurt me, then God can't answer any prayer that I pray. And so that's really, you know, the first rung on the ladder to answered prayer. And then we found out, then we could go into, in Matthew 6, praying for our needs, because God wants to meet all of your needs today. God is for you today to have peace and comfort in this hour. And then thirdly, the third prayer was that he prayed really for the lost. He prayed for laborers. He said, the harvest is huge, but there's not enough laborers for the harvest. Y'all remember that? That's where we landed last week. I'm going to pick up there today. I want to talk to you today how to pray for the lost. How to pray for the lost. A lost loved one, someone who doesn't know the Lord, someone who's a sinner, they're a non-believer, they're not born again yet. Whatever terminology that you understand, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a mother or a father, aunt or an uncle. It could be your brother, your sister, your son or your daughter, a cousin, whatever that might be, someone you work with, someone you go to school with. Like that precious lady, she said, I'm in a dangerous neighborhood. I'm frightened. I'm intimidated. I want to get out of this neighborhood. You know, for someone like that, how does she pray for those around her that are lost, undone, and on their way to hell? Let me just slip this in here, right here. There's never revival in the land or in a church or in a person's life until they have compassion for the lost. Never going to happen. Never going to be a revival in a home, in a life, in a church, or a nation until they begin to have a compassion for those who are lost and those who are undone and without God and on their way to hell. Never have revival until I have a compassion or burden for lost people. Amen, everybody? So I want to talk to you today about how to pray for the lost and how to get results. It could be a family member, a friend, a peer, a coworker. But bless God, I'm ready for a revival. I'm ready for an awakening, an outpouring, changing our culture. Amen. I'm ready to change our community. I am ready to see the prodigal come back home. I'm ready to see your lost loved ones, household salvation this year. So leaders, good leaders give the right perspective. And let me give you the perspective today. I believe that we're living in the greatest times we could ever live in. You say, no, Pastor, I would rather live way back, you know, whatever. Maybe you wanted to live in the 1800s. Maybe you wanted to live, you know, when there were knights in shining armor. And maybe you would say, no, Pastor, I wanted to live when Jesus was alive on this earth. Do you know right now is the greatest time to be alive than ever before? Right now is the greatest hour that you and I live in. Right now is the greatest time in history to be alive. You say, Pastor, why? Because he said in the last days, he's going to pour out the former and the latter rain together. He said in the last days that his power will be demonstrated like no other century in time. We're about to see God show up and show off like never before, signs, wonders, and miracles, the demonstration of his power, and we get to be a part of that generation. Come on, somebody. I want to give you peace today. I want to give you comfort today. And I want to give you the right perspective, not what the news is saying, but according to my Bible, he says, your latter days will be greater than your former days. It says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And there's going to be visions and dreams and signs and wonders and the miraculous like no other time in history. So you and I are living in the greatest time there has ever been in history, right here, right now. And we get to be a part of it. Say it with me. God, use me in this hour. And that's what he's looking for, right? He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, I'm not knowledgeable in this. I don't know that. I have any talents. Well, I think you are more than what you think you are. And I know you have God-given talents that you haven't tapped out yet. But the key is God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He's looking for people who say, God, just use me today. Amen. So let's get right into it. I'm going to give you 7 ways to pray for somebody who doesn't know God. 7 ways to pray for a backslidden husband or wife, or a heathen, a son or daughter, brother or sister, a co-worker, a peer, a friend, a neighbor. 7 biblical ways to pray for them and get results. So let's go to John chapter 16 and verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. And look what it says. It's real important. If we want to get answers to our prayers, then we have to be skilled in the art of asking. Am I right? He said, you have not because you ask not. But then he went on to say, he said, some of you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. Am I right? Sure do love y'all. He said, you have not because you ask not. I get it, God, you want me to ask, but it doesn't stop there. He goes on, some of you are asking and you're not getting because you're asking amiss. He said, you're not asking correctly. So, you know, just like, you know, you as a parent, and if you have more than one child in your house, some of your children know how to approach you and ask, and some of your other children don't know how to approach you and ask. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You know, some of your children have got it down. They know when to ask and when not. They know how to approach the father or the mother. They know when and how and where. And then some of your other children, they don't have that skill developed, and they'll ask you at the wrong time and not get what they're asking for. Liken that into our Heavenly Father. He said, I want you to ask. You have not because you ask not. You got to ask. You got to learn to pray. But you ask and you ask amiss so you don't receive. So you got to ask correctly. We've got to get skilled in the art of praying. Y'all with me, family? Everybody at home, all the hosts, all the small group leaders, watch party leaders, amen. So in that day, Jesus said, John 16, 23, in that day, that's this day, that's the church age. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Well, what's that mean? Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the, oh, so we don't ask Jesus, we ask the Father, that whatever you shall ask, we don't ask the Holy Spirit. We ask the Father. We don't say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've done that. But what do? We ask the Father. Here's the protocol for prayer. He said, in that day, it's talking about the church age. Talking about after his death, burial, and resurrection. New Testament church, book of Acts. It's still being written through your life. Hallelujah. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the Father. So we have to know how to approach the Father. In my name, he will give it to you. So correct protocol is that we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we're using the Trinity. We go to the Father because we're in his family, right? We go to the Father. We say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name today. Being led by the Holy Spirit, I need to be led by the Spirit in prayer. So I pray the right thing. And I have to know how. I really wanted to do this weekend series. I had it all set up to do, how do you approach the Father? But I really felt like God changed that towards the end of the week, that I needed to talk about revival. I needed to talk about the lost, and how do you pray for hurting people that don't know God? That you want to see them not go to hell, you want to see them go to heaven. You don't want to see them tormented, but you want to see them liberated and set free. Amen. So he said, in that day, we have to know how to approach the Father. Just like I said earlier, the illustration that if you have children, you know what I'm talking about. Some of your kids know how to approach you, and some of your kids haven't learned yet how to approach you. That makes all the difference in the world. So that's real important. So how do we approach the Father in Jesus' name, led by the Holy Spirit? How do we approach him to reach the lost? All right, so number one, I'm going to give you seven things. And if I go too fast, thank God for smartphones. Just take a picture. Really, just take a picture of what's on the screen, and then you'll have it. So number one, here's how we pray for people that we want to see won to the Lord. People who are lost, undone, people who are hurting without Christ and on their way to hell. How do we pray for them to get them born again in the kingdom and on their way to heaven? Number one, you pray for laborers to cross their path. You pray for the right people to cross their path. Because, you know, all of us, we have certain people we can reach and other people we'll never reach, right? All of us have personalities that turn people off or turn people on. Can have a witness in the house. So we want to pray for the right laborers to cross the path of our husband, or doesn't know the Lord, our wife, our mother, our father, our brother, our sister, our cousin, our aunt, our uncle, our peer, our coworker, the students at school. We want to pray for the laborers, the right laborers, to cross their path. And the scripture for that is Matthew 9:36. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion. So when you and I think of lost people who don't know God, and if it doesn't move me, I'll never have revival in my life, home, or church. I have to be moved when I see lost people on their way to hell. I have to be moved when I see people that don't know God and are lost and undone. When he saw the multitudes, Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Guys, can you do it for me? The next verse, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous. In other words, people are out there ripe and ready to receive. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Next verse. Pray ye therefore. What should we do? Pray. Pray for laborers. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So number one, on how to pray for people who don't know God, and we want them to know God, I'm going to move right through the message for sake of time here. We want to pray that God would send the right people across my son's path at school, at the university, my daughter, my ex who left, my mother who doesn't know whoever we're praying for that doesn't know God. How do we pray for them? Number one, we pray for the right people to cross their path, that they'll be receptive and open to. Number two, we pray that God will speak to them. We pray and ask God, speak to them. And the scripture for that is Proverbs 6:22. When they go, it shall lead them. What? The word of God. When they go, it will lead them. When they go to sleep, it will keep them. When they wake up, it will talk to them. So we pray for that loved one who doesn't know the Lord, coworker, student, peer, or intimidating neighbor that's dangerous. We pray that God will begin to speak to them. That maybe something they were taught from a grandmother or a mother or a father, or they learned from somebody in their life growing up, whatever, that God would speak to them his word when they go to sleep at night, that they're miserable until they come to the Lord. That when they wake up to go to work or go wherever they might go, to go to school or go to get in trouble, that right when they get ready to do something they shouldn't do, they're going to hear what maybe a father or a mother or a grandmother or grandfather taught them, or they heard at Sunday school growing up, a concert, a podcast, that God will speak to them. I know growing up for me, you know, as a teenager, there'd be times that I would be with the wrong people. I know y'all never did that, but I'd be at the wrong people at the wrong time, and they'd be all doing the wrong stuff. And I'd get ready to go with the crowd, and all of a sudden I'd hear my dad's voice. He wasn't nowhere around, but I could hear my dad's voice. Or I'd hear my mother's voice, seriously. Or I'd hear my grandmother's voice. And I would hear what they said, and you know what that would do? That would restrain me. That would constrain me. I would get convicted. Oh, I can't do that. And it would keep me from doing those things. So what do? You pray, number two, that God would talk to them. Then number three, you pray for the blinders to come off. Seven ways you pray for someone who doesn't know God. The lost, the undone, the hurting, without God, on their way to hell. We don't want anybody to go to hell. Amen, Church on the Rock? And we're not here to judge people. We're not here to condemn people. We're here to bring comfort and peace and direction and guidance and hope and a future to people at Church on the Rock. So we pray for the blinders to come off. What's that, Pastor? Guys, could you help me out today for sake of time? Just punch the scripture up there for me. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel is hid... Gospel is the word, right? The Bible, it's the good news. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Next verse, guys. In whom the God of this world, now who is that? That's the booger man. That's dragon breath. That's devil. That's the deceiver. That's Satan. That's our adversary. That's Lucifer. He's the God of this world. What does that mean? The word world there means system. The world system. Who's behind the corrupt world system? The devil. You see the morals of our nation going down, 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 down. They're going to continue to do that, my brother and sister. We're talking about this on Wednesday nights right now. The morality of our nation is going to keep going bad, keep going down. But I say that when morality is going down, it's time for our light to shine, right? And so the God of this world, we know he is, the devil, he's behind all of that. And what does he do? Blinds the minds of them that believe not. Who's a believe not? An unbeliever, a lost person, unsaved, without God, undone, on their way to hell. Notice, what does the devil do? Blinds their minds. So what do? We pray that the blinders would be taken off of their eyes. Why? So they could see the light, so they could see the gospel, so they could understand that God is a good God, and God is for them, and God loves them. But they're under a spirit of disobedience. You understand that, right? There's a spirit of disobedience active and alive in the world system. They're under the spirit of disobedience. Disobedience creates confusion. Disobedience creates confusion. Where there's confusion in my life, somewhere I've disobeyed God, because God is not the author of confusion. So I need to go back and repent and make sure I'm okay with God, and then clarity will come. But the people we're trying to reach, the lost, the undone, the backslider, they're confused and they don't have clear perception because they're under the spirit of disobedience. So we pray, God, take the blinders off their eyes just long enough for them to see some light. And once they've tasted God, you're going to want God. Amen, everybody? All right. So how do you pray for those who don't know God? Number four, you pray for a heart change. Everything starts in the heart. You pray for a heart change. Don't focus on the behavior. We focus on the heart. The behavior won't change until there's a heart change. Think about that in counseling, marital counseling, counseling with your children, counseling with relationships within your home. Don't focus on the behavior. Well, she does that, and he does that. This, you know, that's not going to do anything, only make it worse. What you want to focus on is pray for a heart change in your husband, a heart change in your wife, a heart change in your teenager, a heart change in your youngster, a heart change for those you work for at work, a heart change for those living next to you that are intimidating you and bringing fear, a heart change. Because everything starts in the heart. The verse for that, guys, help me out, would you? Is Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart, you could put your son, daughter, husband, wife, mother, father, cousin, aunt, uncle, uncle. You can put whatever part you want to put in there. Their name, okay? Bill's heart, Susie's heart, Gloria's heart, Tom's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, God can turn it whatsoever he will. But what causes God to be able to do that is you and I praying for that person. Right? For the right person to cross their path away from home at the university. For the right person to cross their path today in high school, junior high. For the right person to cross their path today at work. To the right person to cross their path. And then we pray that God would speak to them. And then we pray that we take those blinders off. We rebuke the devil. We command the darkness to leave, the cloud to leave, the confusion to leave, to open up so light can shine. And then we pray, God, change their heart. God, change. Well, I want him back, not till he has a heart change. I want her back, not until she has a heart change. Come on, somebody. Because if you do, they're going to bring that baggage right back. And it's going to be 7 times worse than it was before. All right? So, all right, I could go there, have fun, but I'm not going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It's number 5. Pray. Am I helping anybody today? Pray. Because you'll not really have revival in my own life until I care about the lost. I'll not really have revival in a church until we're praying for the lost. I'll not really have revival in a nation until that nation cares about lost, hurting, wounded, broken, fainting people. Pray for favor and an open door to share the gospel. Pray for favor. We should do this every morning. You pray that I'll remember to do this, would you? Remember how you flow in the spirit as you respond to the person who is up front. I'll pray for y'all, remember. We'll do it together, okay? Pray for favor that today God opened a door for me to share the gospel. Not be preachy, not be condemning, not getting down on people. That doesn't do anything. But God, pray for favor, an open door to share the gospel. Somebody said, I heard them this week somewhere, they said, people who give hope have the greatest influence in life. Whoa. People who give hope have the greatest influence in life. Think about a Winston Churchill who gave hope. Think about a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. who gave hope. Think about different people in history who gave hope with a speech, with their leadership. Again, I say, people who give hope and comfort and peace have the greatest influence in the world. So pray for favor and an open door to share the gospel. Can you help me out, guys? Just, boy, did you like that? Can we try that again, guys? Go back. Go back. Okay? Now watch this now. Watch. That's the gospel gun right there. Right there. Praise God. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch expectation in the same with thanksgiving. Next verse, guys. Pray for the wrong. We've got to go back to that. I think there was one more. Let's go back. Maybe that's the only one I did, but there should have been another one there. I'll correct it. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. In Colossians there, it talks about looking for an open door to share the gospel. It's Colossians 4, verse 2 through 4. Look for an open door to share the gospel, God's favor. Okay, now we got it. Next one, guys. Thank you. Number 6, 6 of the 7. Team's coming out. Pray for the wrong friends and influences to leave their life. Pray for the wrong friends and the influences to leave their life. You heard our sister talk about her story at the offering. She was talking about that. Yeah, how important it is to be the right people. So pray for the wrong friends and influences to leave their life. And scripture for that, guys, is Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools, you're going to become a fool and destroyed. So notice, who we walk with, we become like. So we want to pray for those wrong influences and wrong friends to leave the life of the ones we're trying to lead to the Lord. We want to pray for those wrong friends. You know, as a parent, here's what I know. You should pick your children's friends. That went over, not too hot, but it's the truth. He walketh with wise men, shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So pray for the wrong people to leave their life so we're able to lead them to the Lord. And number 7, right before we worship the Lord, pray with thanksgiving and see them born again. You have to see them in the kingdom of God by faith. Pray with thanksgiving and see them born again. And what is that? We're not even going to look at the scripture today, but it's Romans 4, verse 17. Call those things that be not as if they already were. That's faith in action. So begin to see that loved one in the kingdom. Begin to see that friend, that foe, that enemy, that adversary, that neighbor, that supervisor, that teacher. Begin to see them in the kingdom of God serving the Lord. And how you do that is you begin, thank you, Father. I see them by the eye of faith, born again. I thank you for that. And you know what that is? That's faith. 7 ways to pray for the lost. Y'all got it?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.